you turn again to 2 Samuel chapter 3, I want to just read a few verses again, verse 17 and 18. 2 Samuel 3, verses 17 and 18. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies." I want to talk to you simply on those four words in verse 18. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. Do what, you might ask? And the answer is, make David king, your king. The background is this. King Saul, the first king of Israel, is not. David had been anointed the king over Judah, but the larger tracts of territory and the larger part of the country were still under the dynasty of the house of Saul. Abner, who had for years been Saul's general officer commanding the troops, he had his finger and thumb on the pulse of the nation. He knew the hankerings and the longings that the people had for David. So he talked to them, and he said to them, "There were days gone by, there were times past, that you really wanted David to be your king. Well, why do you not do it now? Now then, do it. Make David your king." I want to speak to you for the remainder of our time about another king. He is the root and offspring of David, as he describes himself in the book of the Revelation. This is the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen and young people, make this king your king, and do it now. Now, in order to make the Lord Jesus Christ king of your life, three things are necessary. The first one is this: enmity must cease. If you're going to make David the king of your life, or Christ the king of your life, as the children of Israel were making David their king, then hostilities must come to an end. The Bible tells us that there was great hostility in the days of Israel between the house of Saul and the house of David. The very first verse of 2 Samuel 3. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Long war between the two dynasties, if you like. But in order for David to become the king over these people, then the hostilities had to cease. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, may I say to you tonight, there is hostility, there is enmity between the person who's not a Christian and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it absolutely clear. In Psalm 58, verse 3, we are told that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, seeking lives. Think of that, estranged from the womb, going astray as soon as they're born. Just tiny infants. There's a bias in them that's leading them away daily from the Lord. We read in Romans 5 and verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of a son. Get that part, if when we were enemies. And in Colossians 1 and verse 21, Paul says that these Colossians, and indeed they were representative of us all, that you have been alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works. And we are told in 2 Corinthians 5, just the chapter before Nigel quoted from, that Paul said, we have the ministry of reconciliation committed to us. Therefore, we pray ye in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That shows the enmity and the hostility there is. We're enemies, as we've seen by nature. We disobey his will. We reject his only begotten son. We disregard his claims of a sovereign king, a sovereign creator in our lives. And what he wants us to do tonight is to lay down the weapons of hostility, cease from the conflict, and do so promptly. Now then, do it. This is what Abner was saying to the people. Make David your king. Cease the hostility. I said to you, make the Lord Jesus Christ your king and quit the enmity that exists between you. But there's a second thing that has to be done. Not only must enmity cease, but surrender must occur. Now, you could cease the hostility, but you could run away from the field of conflict. You could say, I'm getting out of here. That could happen simply, just by sheathing the sword and withdrawing from the field of battle. But that would not be making the opposing king your king. No, there's something more important than that. Surrender must occur. It's not enough to call a ceasefire to stop the hostility. But you have got to hand over your weapons. You've got to hand over your persons. You have got to not only cease hostilities, but there must be a total surrender of yourself to King Jesus, as there would be of these Israelites to King David. The story is told of Admiral Nelson, who had won a signal victory. I think it may have been apart from Trafalgar. But the commander of the seas of the opposing fleet, whom he had conquered, surrendered, and as officers would be, they would be polite to one another. This officer was brought aboard Nelson's boat, and he was more than friendly, very pally. But Nelson said to him, yes, but holding out the hand, your sword first, sir. What he meant was, get the main business done, then we can talk in friendly terms. There has got to be a total surrender. And ladies and gentlemen, I urge you tonight to turn from your sin, trust Christ as your Savior, and surrender your life to Him. Yield your life to Him. That's something important to do. As one of our hymns says, in all my heart and will, Lord Jesus, be altogether King. Make me a loyal subject to Thee, Lord Jesus, in everything. That means you yield your will, you yield your heart, you yield your talents, you yield your abilities, you yield your time, and you lay it all at His feet. You make a total surrender. Enmity must cease. Surrender must occur. And then lastly, service must be engaged in. If these people were going to lay down their arms, cease the hostility, if the house of Saul was going to be swallowed up by the house of David, by the submissiveness and the surrender of Saul's house, Saul's dynasty, and the tribes that he led, then it was not enough just to say, I'll stop fighting with David. I'll surrender, and I'll go my own way after that and not bother him anymore. That's not what Abner meant. He says, ye sought in times past for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. If he's going to be king over you, then you've got to show loyalty. You've got to show commitment. You've got to show obeisance and allegiance and work and toil for him. It would mean his army would have been increased, enabling him to ward off all the foes of the surrounding nations that would be against him. And for you, and for me, who yields to the Lord Jesus Christ, there has to be service. Three things about that service. It has to be competent service. Not shoddy. Not slipshod. Not this anything will do for God mentality. There has to be the love for God's house. There has got to be the love especially for God's word. There has to be love for God's people. There has to be love for the throne of grace. There has to be love for the sinner. There has to be this workmanship that we can stand over. Has to be competent service. And God doesn't call a man or a woman or a young person to engage in Christian work that he doesn't fit them for. He gives gifts to his church, as different parts of the New Testament tell us. and he enables a man or a woman who wants to serve the Lord Jesus. The Lord has already gifted you when he converted you. And I want to say to you tonight, you can use that gift. It may not be like somebody else's that you admire. That's not the point. The point is God has given you a particular gift. Use it for his glory. He gave some 10. He gave some 5. He gave another man 1 or 2. Whatever it is, if it's only one talent, use it. Don't bury it. Use it. If he has given you more than one gift, use it. Use it for him. There has to be competent service. What would you think of these soldiers that surrendered to David and then they were out taking on an enemy, but they weren't careful to obey their superior's commands. They weren't one bit fussed whether they carried out the battle strategy or not. They wouldn't be much use. You and I have got to be competent in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be courageous service as well. You see these people in David's army. You get a detailed account of them away at the end of 2 Samuel, and it's in chapter 23. You have a list of mighty men there. One of them went down into a pit and slew a lion on a snowy day. Somebody once said, the worst of enemies, the worst of places, at the worst of times. Another man slew 800 people with a spear. Another slew 300. Three of these fellows loved David so much that they heard David sighing and longing one day and saying, oh, that I could taste of the water from the well at Bethlehem. And no sooner had he said that than these three fellows who overheard him, they broke through the ranks of the Philistines who were garrisoned there. They went to that well that David was talking about. They withdrew the water from the well, brought it back to him, and said that they had gotten it for him. David wouldn't even drink it. He says, I can't do that. This is God for me at the sacrifice of their lives. And he poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord. And there was another man in David's employ, and his hand clave to the sword. He was fighting the enemies of the country, and he stood there warding them off. And so intense was his defense, so skillful and committed was his service, that his very hand had been wrapped around the sword, and the sword handle had become embedded in it. Those are just some of the men that David had. Competent and courageous servant. But there was something else that was necessary, and it was continual service. Not here today, gone tomorrow kind of mentality. Not when the first flushes of youthful Christianity have worn off. It's one thing about Nigel. When he started, he made steady progress all the years he's been a Christian, right up to now. And that's a tremendous truth in his life. And that's what God's looking for tonight. Not the spectacular, not the dramatic. That may or may not come. That's not our concern. Our concern is ceasing the hostility, surrendering to Christ, engaged in confident, bold, brave, courageous service that will be carried on until the day we go home to glory. Now then, will you do it? Will you make the Lord Jesus Christ the King of your life? Will you repent of it, turn from it? Will you have done with it? And will you yield to Christ tonight? Say, Lord, here I give myself away to thee. 'Tis all that I could do. Now then, do it. Will you?